My guest today on the phone is Stephen Thompson. He's an American who lives in Osaka, Japan. He's been working on health issues around Fukushima. He just visited the area. Stephen, thanks for talking with us.
Good to be here.
Stephen, you recently went to the Fukushima region. What are the conditions like in the areas that were hit by the tsunami?
Wow, I didn't see the tsunami area. I was just focused on the radiation. Everything I read about it is what other listeners can find about the tsunami. It's still really, really bad.
Well, I thought that the power plant itself was in the area that was hit with the tsunami.
Right, okay. So the Fukushima Daiichi power plant is not where I went. I went to Fukushima City, which is like 60 kilometers away and was not affected by the tsunami at all. It was the radiation in Fukushima City so far away that was really surprising for me. And this is a town of about 300,000 people.
So there's some very highly populated areas very close to the power plant.
Very close. 60 kilometers away is where the biggest city is. And even that, that's only 300,000 people, which is not a huge city in Japan. But you go downtown and there's tall 12-story buildings and department stores and lots of people. And
now, Fukushima City, though, hasn't been evacuated.
Not at all, no. Nothing outside of a 20, 30-kilometer zone, mostly 20, I guess, has been evacuated. So everything in between, depending on which way the wind blows, has just been hugely affected.
But not evacuated.
Right. We're talking, 10 million people, I guess?
They haven't been evacuated, but has there been maps made of where the radiation has fallen? And are the people in Fukushima City safe?
There's a wonderful group that people can look up. They now have, it's a Japanese group. They have pages in English and French now. It's called CRMS -JPN .org, I think, or COM, either one will get there, I think. CRMS, Citizens Radiation Measurement System.
Okay, so that was CRMS
-JPN.
JPN, okay.
And is that, they're in Fukushima City.
Is that .com or .org?
You know, I'll look that up while I'm online here.
Okay.
Either way, I'll get you there. But it's a wonderful group of people, and I spent most of my time with them. And their goal is to get people out of Fukushima City, particularly children or pregnant women.
The analogy always comes up with comparing what's going on in Fukushima with what's going on in what went on in Chernobyl. How high have the radiation levels been measured in Fukushima City, and how do they compare with the radiation levels in the evacuation zones in Chernobyl?
I was working with some Medcom Geiger counters that I was given to distribute in Japan, and I was comparing the measurements inside Fukushima City. If the background radiation is 0.18 or 0.2 microsieverts, just a number, okay, 0.2 microsieverts, it's 100 times that, 100 times background in Fukushima City. When you get near a grassy area, there's a lot of grassy areas there. So my Geiger counter is just clicking away, and it's not safe to be near the ground. But the kids are still playing outside in schoolyards. The administrations still say it's safe. This is appalling to the CRMS people.
How is the government handling things? It sounds like not well.
Yeah, the prime minister changed today. It'll take them a while before the new people in charge figure out what's what, and maybe they'll do something, maybe they won't. There doesn't seem to be much faith, but something's got to be done. Hey, who knows? It's crazy. I talk to people there, and they don't trust the government, and they want to get out. Without a job, it's hard to leave.
Is there still industry going on in Fukushima City? I recently read that the government had just said that it was okay. They okayed the beef coming from the area there.
Right, yeah. After the huge news about really high levels of beef and all the beef stopped from Fukushima, then it gets approved again. Yeah, and then you get closer. Like there's just so many towns, dozens and dozens of little towns of 11,000 people or 7,000 people from the coast spreading inland. And Minamisoma is one of these places. I think they're the ones that are known for busing their kids to schools farther away, but still keeping the kids living and sleeping at night in this highly irradiated area. The government doesn't say it's not safe, so people say it's okay. It's not good information flow.
Is there any evidence that the levels of radiation that are there are harmful?
Yeah, what is harm? People start to use analogies like tobacco. Well, yeah, secondhand smoke is really deadly, but you're not going to get hit with it for 20 years. These sorts of body damages are measured in DNA, and it just comes up when it comes up. It may come up in the next generation. So people who are in their 20s or 30s now having kids are going to find a problem with kids in the next 5 or 10 years. That's what I've read about Chernobyl. It's so far later on, and people are so traumatized by birth defects or strange heart conditions.
But then the connection's never made between those conditions and the radiation exposure.
I don't know about never made. The nuclear industry try to make those connections not obvious.
Well,
it's really sad.
It seems to be one of the, what happened with Chernobyl was there's the people on the ground in the areas that were affected are saying, you know, we've got a terrible problem here.
Yeah.
And then the UN comes out with a report that says, no, no, everything's fine. Hardly anybody was affected. I was reading one of the posts, I guess it was a tweets from a nurse in Sendai province. And she was saying that they're seeing a lot of patients with unexplainable decrease in white blood cells, headache, and nausea. And
I think I read that report, hair loss.
And yeah, she said their hair is coming out in clumps, but everybody's...
It's so sad. It's almost funny. It's tragic. This is when I speak to the volunteers at CRMS, they say, we really could use some more help, people here to do all the work, and yet we're not accepting more help because we really want people to leave Fukushima City, which is so far away from all the other cities that should be evacuated.
Well, which other cities should be evacuated?
I'm sorry, which cities?
Yeah.
I don't know enough. I haven't been that close to the area. If you just look at a map and measure from the coast all the way up to Fukushima City, there are a lot of little towns.
Mm. So you're living in Osaka, so the radiation in the air and the water is probably not a concern. But what's known about what's in the food supply?
Right. Well, a good thing is that fruits and vegetables have always been labeled by prefecture here. The government has been pushing Fukushima vegetables, and stores seem encouraged to market them first. So we're in the middle of a Fukushima fair, where it's peach season and the peaches from Fukushima are well known and delicious, and they're half price, their usual price, and the competitors' prices from other prefectures. And Fukushima is just the beginning. There are many other prefectures affected. The latest news I saw, but it was only in Japanese, noted that there are, 15 prefectures affected. I try not to buy vegetables from 15 prefectures, including all the Tokyo area. But look at what that means. If it's true, the information, the mapping that's been going on by independent organizations, one is called SafeCast.
Yeah, that was an organization I wanted to ask about. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about who SafeCast is.
Yeah, SafeCast attracted business leader Joey Ito to help invest. Joey Ito helped with Creative Commons license, or ran that organization at one time. Really, really wonderful creative individual with some good financial backing. And this is a network of people in Japan, at least. I've heard they're even expanding, but they're outside of Japan. But what they do is they map all over from south of Tokyo all the way up north. All of this has been mapped by SafeCast, and then it's mapped again and again and again. Really, really wonderful people. And what they find is that there are low levels of radiation throughout all these areas. And then when they tell people about it, the reactions really vary. Locally, when I read about locals reacting, there was news about a series of preschools in northeastern Tokyo. They closed their sandboxes because the radiation levels were too high.
But if the radiation levels are high in the sandboxes, they have to be high everywhere there.
Yep. Anywhere that's open space until it's decontaminated. There's even talk of how you decontaminate an area, you know, washing it down with this and that to get these levels lower. But then what parent would want their kids playing in these areas that are even decontaminated?
Well, there isn't a mass movement out of Japan, so it must be that the parents feel comfortable with the levels that are there. It's amazing to me that the radiation mapping has to be done by an organization like Safecast. Isn't the Japanese government doing anything to map out where the hotspots are?
Not that I've seen. I heard stories that the American government mapped it out, and then they weren't telling anybody what they found besides recommending that people move out of Tokyo.
The U.S. government recommended that people move out of Tokyo?
That the Americans move out of Tokyo, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that they said that they told the Americans to move out.
Yep. And other I don't pay attention to all the governments that have said, there are many governments that said. This was the initial phase, way in March.
Right.
You don't hear much anymore about...
They've never said, okay, now it's safe to go back now. But the truth of the matter is the power plant is still spewing radiation. It's not like anything's changed.
Nothing's changed. So many areas where they still don't go, so many super high hotspots, strange stories. For listeners, there's a really wonderful blog done by a Japanese person. I think he or she is an expat. I don't know the name of the person. It's XSKF, and X is spelled EX-SKF. A great blog. You can subscribe. It comes out every day of news in Japan that's translated into English with Japanese references. And really, there's humor there. It's easy to read, but it's hard-hitting news and solid commentaries. This is someone who's been following this from the very beginning.
Now, when I said earlier that things haven't changed, actually they have changed. It seems like things have gotten worse. The problem is...
The initial spew was just so bad, and then after that, there are hot spots. There's discussion of whether this corium is reacting again and producing steam, but there's nothing like the huge releases at the beginning.
Well, that issue of the corium isn't... okay, and just to give the listeners a little bit of background, corium is the element that's what they call the melted down fuel rods sitting on the concrete floor of the reactor containment.
Yeah, and with all the other metals or concrete all mixed in together, still really, really hot, burning through the concrete until it hits water.
Right, and I think there was some speculation, or there is some speculation going on, that the corium has hit the water table.
Yeah, that was just, maybe last week?
Yeah. So if the corium hits the water table, what does that do? And when does it stop?
Yeah, nobody knows. This is what they call the China syndrome. Nobody knows. Great commentators, like from Michio Kaku, he's often on CNN. He's like, this is the first time. He's filled with humor, too. It's so bad, you got to laugh. This is just terrible. Nobody knows. And nobody knows what happens in all these towns. That when it happened in the former Soviet Union, whatever was happening, they tried to cover it up. It was real sort of a backwoods area anyway. Doctors doing what they could. Then doctors die in. So it's nobody knows. It's terrifying. The most intelligent people I know have moved out. There's a large group of Fukushima expats in Hokkaido Island, and they're encouraging others to come, saying life is better here. Get your butts out of Fukushima.
And then there's Tokyo. It sounds like if that nursery school you were talking about was in...
Nursery schools, northeastern Tokyo, that have closed their sandboxes, yeah.
So there's got to be pretty high levels of radiation in Tokyo and around that area.
Right, yeah. Chris Busby was talking about, he's working with researchers with filters, finding americium in the environment and all. I'm no nuclear expert. Who is? They're hard to find nuclear experts. But there are more than 100 radioactive isotopes, at least. They have various half-lives, but there's all sorts of things that if they hit your body, causing various, whether it's the kind of radiation, not to get too technical, but this is just not good for you. But where do you go? Where do you go if you live in Tokyo and you have a decent job? There's no place to go. There's no place to hide.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the kind of work that you're doing. Now, you're trying to get the full body scanner so that people can get an idea of how much radioactive isotopes have lodged in their bodies?
Right. Yeah, this is a really, really good step. Because we really need to prove harm in order to get above the media static, and the only way to prove harm is with a machine, and the machines, these whole-body scanners, or whole-body counter, are a little hard to find. The best ones are $500,000. Canberra is a big manufacturer of these, mostly at airports or nuclear radiation nuclear plants. But there's a quick and dirty method that is the choice now in Fukushima. This is quick and dirty just for cesium, which is the primary element of all these nasty elements that is that's been dusted in such a wide area.
Well, and then you can make the inference that if somebody has high levels of cesium in their body, that they've probably been exposed to all the other radionuclides.
No, I don't think that's true.
No?
Strontium is the only one that I've heard as a reference. The others, cesium and strontium as a reference. But this has been real effective. The Chernobyl researchers, the main two that are left alive from Belrad, named Yablokov and Nestorenko, they have a great book edited by Jeanette Sherman that's available called, what's it called, Chernobyl, A Natural Catastrophe. I'll look that up too. But just the cesium in itself, if we know how much cesium is in bodies, then sharing that news is going to be big. And that machine is coming online this coming month in September.
Now, when you say coming online, where is it going to be and who's it going to be measuring?
Okay. The machine had to be made. The machine was made in Belarus.
Belarus,
that's how I would say it. And it's coming over with an engineer to Japan to be installed in Fukushima City.
You know, there is some irony here because I know there was a lot of Japanese people who went over to Belarus to help out with getting measurements for people on their disaster over there. And now the people from Belarus are going over to Japan.
Yep. It's the people who know best are the Chernobyl people. The name of the book is Chernobyl: Consequences of the Catastrophe for People of the Environment. It's a free PDF from stralentelex.de. If you just look up Chernobyl, Yablokov, Yablokov, is the primary author. I've spoken to all these people. I went deep into the heart of it. Alexei Yablokov has been really helpful. Alexei Nestorenko, the son of the other primary author, and Jeanette Sherman has been very helpful. And they are, but really what it is they are liaising with CRMS. And making sure that the whole body scanner is working well, and then the next big step. And this is really it. Once you find it, how do you get it out? How do you get the radiation out? Well, you need to identify, is it really only cesium we're dealing with? But this is what is going to be the main focus of concern.
So where will this radiation measuring device be?
In Fukushima City at a private independent laboratory.
Okay. And then so people will be able to, like, make appointments, come in, get measured. And then, as you said...
Also, that's up to CRMS. It's up to what they decide. That's what they expressed to me that they would do. Frankly, I'm a little worried about sabotage. I don't trust the nuclear industry here.
What do you mean, sabotage?
Hey, come on. We have the most advanced machine coming online in September, and a government that's been denying what's been happening for 6 months. I hope that the machine gets here safely and gets installed. And
has there been any active kind of interference being run by the government against organizations like CRMS and Safecast that you've heard about?
No, nothing active that I've observed. Last month there was a new law that came into effect where all the internet is going to be monitored by a special branch of the Japanese government and can be censored within Japan. That's a new law.
And what kind of information are they going to be censoring, did they say?
It's just they can legally censor information, but they don't say, and it's all a little weird for people here. A lot of comments about it. It's weird.
So this is something very new. They haven't been used to having their internet information censored.
No, not at all. No.
Okay, well, let's go back to CRMS and the measuring device. So
right.
Once they get the device there and people are measured, then it's been noted that they have radiation in their body. What's the next step?
There are no experts in this besides people who've been trying to do their best in the Chernobyl area. And those experts say we need to chelate. That's a new word for people's vocabulary. Chelate the radiation out of the body. And then various people suggest various means from, if you look at the FDA, the American Federal Drug Agency, says that Prussian blue is the only approved drug that will do this, manufactured by Heiltech in Germany, one company in the world.
How available is that to people in Fukushima City?
Well, the loose group that I work with, from the Chernobyl people to the Three Mile Island people, we have the drug, and we will make it available when CRMS wants it. I brought samples to them when I went there. As far as we know, we're the only group that has a supply of Prussian blue. It's a little expensive, but we work with medical doctors who help. It's desperate. It's a desperate thing.
I know one of the problems in the Chernobyl region was that most of the radiation fell into areas where people were either subsistence farming or there wasn't a lot of money there, just to put it bluntly. And what's the situation with the people in areas like Fukushima City? Japan is a much more prosperous country than Belarus.
Right. There's a whole list of supplements that people could take, and various doctors or people focused on whole health practitioners, they may or may not be medical doctors, they suggest various things. One of those things to take is called zeolite. Zeolite is supposed to take all sorts of nasty stuff out of the body, chelate all sorts of nasty stuff. And there were some people early on in March that set up a business selling zeolite to take the radiation out of your body. And they marketed it like that right away. And the story was they made $150,000 before the government, what would be the equivalent of $150,000 before the government clamped down and fined them. I don't know what the fine was. We didn't hear anything more about it.
But does the zeolite work?
See, no one knows what works until we've got a whole body counter where we do a before and after and do it on a regular basis, the day after, the next day after. And no one's got one that they want to talk about. So finally we have one. So yeah, finally the medical doctors are involved. Now I know of one medical doctor finally that's gone open. Not too open, I don't want to say his name, but he is working on this with CRMS so that whatever they prescribe is run in a scientific, medical way. We just don't know. So there are going to be all kinds of tests.
Well, when you say that there's one doctor involved, why would doc, and you don't even want to say his name, why would doctors be reluctant to get involved?
Right. My only way to know that is that I teach medical students English here in Osaka, and I started talking to them about what's happening. They're not encouraged to talk about what's happening or to understand what's happening in their university. And when I dig a little deeper, I'm told that if they stand out, they'll be hammered down. The government is not actively pursuing these things, so it really takes an independent doctor with his or her own practice, not afraid of government backlash, so they're not dependent on government funding. Certainly students don't have anything to stand on yet, so this is one doctor. He has an established practice for many years, and he said this is wrong, and he will give his solid opinions to CRMS. For them to follow and let people decide on their own what they want to take. Zeolite will be one of these things. Prussian blue, I hope, is an option. The main one from Chernobyl, surprisingly, is apoplectin. Apoplectin is this part, I guess, from between the apple and the skin. It needs to be grown in a very pure way, and this is what they've been using in Chernobyl at Belrad. Easy to find on the internet, BELRAD.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for talking with us. My guest has been Stephen Thompson. He's an American who lives in Osaka, and he's been telling us about what's going on with the health issues around Fukushima.
Thank you.
Thank you.